This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws and monkey sounds in there and call it good.
The old like Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon! Very happy Tuesday to everybody out there. Danny and Dusty. No. Did you think it was Monday?
They all blend together.
I didn't know if you were still locked in the basement of the Moda Center.
Yes. No, we did it at the PF. We did it at the PF.
Okay. The joke still stands, yeah. Danny.
It's fair.
You were gone for a long time yesterday.
Yeah. We started at 9 and we got done at 1:40.
Wow.
So.
It's a lot of, I'm going to put in a lot of hard work. Saw a lot of growth and development. Yeah. That seems like far too long.
Yes, It was way, way too long.
Well, it's good to have you back.
It's good to be back.
And you summited hoops, too.
I did. Oh, my God, did I summit so many hoops.
Yeah. How was that?
Summited the S out of that.
I did. I came away from that game after the week of practice saying there is not a level of tank that I will be against for this franchise.
Oh, so.
To get Cooper Flagg.
We're not going
to
overreact, but. Just
can't miss.
Turn it into the side of the mountain, huh?
Can't miss.
All right.
So at least one more season of suctitude.
I think that was going to happen no matter what.
Well, yes,
but I mean, like when you talk.
But
to
now it's etched in stone.
When you talk to executives, like they're like, about this year, next year, it's going to be egregious. It's going to be like it's going to be egregious.
Yeah.
That's how good he. For those that are unaware of the Hoop Summit game that went on last week or on Friday after or Saturday. Friday, Saturday, whatever
Saturday.
It was. Saturday. It all,
Saturday,
like I said, it all blends together. Cooper Flagg had 19 and 11 and 2 on 8 of 11 and never forced the action once. You just looked up and went, oh, God.
He's, all right.
Like, you knew he was all good, right. But he was just great the entire night. And you just looked up and you're like, oh, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of efficiency on both ends. He flashed the passing, the defense, the shooting, the creation, the leadership, the doggedness. Like, the dog in him per 36 is 1,000.
Well,
like
I mean, we all know what's going to happen. It's already lining up this way.
The Blazers are going to win the lottery this year and then...
No. Come on. Yeah, that probably will happen.
Yeah. They'll win it in a year where it's not a great draft.
No, the San Antonio Spurs have already cleared the deck. Their roster's already crap. They knew that they could win a couple of games at the end of the season this year, and it doesn't affect them. Be like, hey, see, we tried. And then they're going to be even worse next year, and they're going to win the lottery, and they're going to pair Wemby and Cooper Flagg together. And
Greg Popovich is going to fall ass backwards into it again, isn't he?
Yeah, and he'll literally die on the sidelines coaching that team when he's like 92 and they've won 6 more rings.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're going to be in the running for Cooper solely because I think Wemby's playing center for 80 games is going to make them so good that
I think that you are vastly underestimating the level of rest that one Greg Popovich will give Victor Wembanyama next year.
That's the thing is the working theory out there right now is Wemby's running things in San Antonio.
That's a great idea. Hand it over to a 19-year-old. Why not?
He's 20 now. But what Wemby wants, Wemby gets. So if Wemby wants to play, like he played against the Nuggets, and that cost them. That cost the Spurs. They fell further in the lottery.
Again, I think this is all part of the plan. Like, they know, we don't really need to tank for this year. We're going
to
get whoever we want. Next year's our year. Next year's our year. Because they get him Rookie of the Year this year.
Mm-hmm.
Wemby, you can sit there and you can be like, he's not going to get an MVP next year because of the fact they're going to be so bad. Right? And if you just kind of suck one more year, you can sit there and you go, now... We gear up year 3, MVP year for Victor Wembanyama, paired alongside the Rookie of the Year, Cooper Flagg, and I will hate the San Antonio Spurs. And I have nothing against the San Antonio Spurs now.
If they trade for Trae Young this summer, I don't think they can be bad enough.
But I think they won't.
I thought he was supposed to go to the Lakers. And plus,
we'll see what Perk says about that.
I think don't underestimate Pop's ability to tank too. Like he'll find a way next year to try to teach another non-point guard how to play point guard.
And that's true.
They're gonna rig the lottery, and
that's the part
again.
You have to worry about.
They just keep winning the lottery
when it matters.
And next year it matters.
Next year it matters. It matters. Like, and you got Coop. You've got Ace Bailey. You've got not the guards or anything for Portland, but you've got Boogie Fland, and you've got VJ Edgecombe. And then in the draft after that, you've got AJ DeBonsa, who on the post-game press conference was hilarious and rather blunt because he's a year younger than everybody else. And he got up there and he literally said, "I want all of the smoke." He's like, "I don't care." Because he's a year away from...
Portland would be a great place.
Right?
Lots of smoke
Lots of smoke here.
Yeah,
but he's going into his senior year.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and, dude.
Like, he, you know, in a time where development matters so much, that year matters, he went out there and balled on guys.
You just got to keep living, man.
Mm-hmm. L-I-V-I-N.
It's true.
Is there a franchise as lucky as the San Antonio Spurs?
No.
Across sports, no.
There's no sport.
No.
No sport. No comp.
Three generational bigs, all when it mattered, and the first two led to multiple titles.
That's not bad.
No.
That's not bad at all. I mean, I'm digging, like, no. No. You could just look down the list.
Celtics and Lakers have their prestige.
But what they'll do is they'll just go and buy guys. Or
yes, trade for them. And, yes, the Spurs drafted them, got them.
Yeah. Like it's luck. It is sheer luck what they get. Yeah, and no other team is like that in sports. It's not like the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Celtics, the Lakers. Yeah. No. Those are different. That's a different realm. What the Spurs get is just sheer dumb luck winning the lottery.
In the years that matter most.
Oh, no way.
And you've got...
How'd this happen?
Wemby came up a lot at Hoop Summit because people are talking about, you know, Cooper and his projections, stuff like that. And the number of people who are lifer... NBA folks, been around for 20, 30, 40 years, who were talking about Wemby is like, I could see him being in a top three conversation ever. Like, that's the kind of impact and talent after 1 year was insane.
Yeah.
It was insane.
That level of hyperbole about 1 year always gets me. Because it is just 1 year.
It is 1 year. I mean, it's 1 year of something we've literally never seen before.
Yeah, I know. But Aaron Judge was supposed to change baseball forever, too.
Sure.
Because he had 1 year where we'd never seen it before. And turns out we've seen it before. Mm. You know, big people get hurt.
Sure.
You know, like that kind of stuff. That kind of stuff happens. And sometimes you slow down a little bit. But his rookie year, and that's the thing that kind of sucks for guys like Victor Wembanyama, too, is that, like, appreciate what year one was instead of, well, is he going to be one of the greatest of all time? Because if he's not, then all of a sudden his career just, for whatever reason, doesn't live up to it. Where you could look at it and you could say, just take this year for what it was, which is something we had never seen before. Mm-hmm. And if this dude stays on this course, watch out, because the San Antonio Spurs are not going to be that bad for that long, especially because you're starting to see... It, as this year went on, he got even better.
It's wild to
and
think.
He's gonna grow, like, he will fill his body out a little bit more as time goes on. Naturally, he's only 20 years old.
It's wild to think that if he doesn't improve one bit for the rest of his career, he's probably a top 10 player
in NBA history.
Yeah, if he just does what he did this year for 10, 12 years,
yeah,
he probably goes down as a top 10 player.
Yeah, leading the NBA in blocks is not a bad thing.
He's leading the NBA in blocks and steals.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Combined stocks.
Yeah.
While also being a 20 and 12 guy with almost 5 assists.
Yeah, this sucks. Why are we talking so much sports? Like, yeah. You Summit Hoops and all of a sudden we're talking Cooper Flag and
look, man, my
white guys from Maine.
Super tight.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
You can't say that about teenage boys, Danny.
Oh, well.
You know?
It happens. It happens.
No. No, this is, even he's changing the subject
no,
now.
No, I was going to say, on Cooper Flag, he's more of a Tyler Harrow than a Gordon Hayward. Of your particular flavor of white.
Okay.
Picking up what I'm putting down?
Sure. Okay. Sure. Sure.
Which is interesting, being from Maine, but also Harrow's from Wisconsin, so.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Ooh, this is a good text. Vancouver text line. Vancouver Ford text line, not just the city of Vancouver's text line. The Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Cavs are up there, too, for luckiest franchise. Yeah, but they didn't, like, they won the LeBron one, which that one is pretty lucky.
Kyrie, too.
Kyrie, but they also won Anthony Bennett.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's no way either.
I mean, that's
winning
like
LeBron
a,
with him being from Akron is pretty huge.
That one is, I
right?
mean.
Like, that's hometown yes. guy. Like, that's wild.
And they took that thing so far into the side of the mountain to make sure that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you should. When there's a guy like Wemby, like LeBron, and it's going to be interesting is where I feel right now versus where I am at this time next year.
Mm.
Do I feel the same about Cooper as far as like steering into the skid?
Well, why would you not?
I'm just saying, what if things change or what if I steer into the skid even harder? Like off the mountain, not even into the side of the mountain.
Wait,
you
think that you are anywhere near a mountain right now? Because you have been, you've been in the Pacific Ocean.
Mm.
You have been.
I am underwater.
Yeah, you have been in the depths of the ocean for quite some time. That mountain, you went past that mountain years ago, Mr. Meringue.
Mm.
Years ago.
It's true.
Yeah.
Also in the Vancouver Ford text line, in regards to Cooper Flag, what Danny is trying to say is that he's a level of white where instead of I'll have her home by 10, that she calls me daddy now.
Okay. That's, I guess, one way to put it. All right. I wonder how that's going to fit with John Shire at Duke. You know?
Even if he's got a little bit less Maine in him and more hoop vernacular, he's a leader.
Okay.
I've never seen a kid that, you know, other guys rallied to more.
All right.
Than him.
All right.
That was the stuff that I think impressed me even more than his skill set was the intangibles. Just 10 out of 10 all the way through.
All right. Cooper Flag. Really high on Cooper Flag.
Yeah. The hyperbole is going to get out of control. Like nationally with the narrative.
Well, and if not just because of his actual what he can do on the floor, if we're being honest, an American star. We haven't had an American star in quite some time.
An American white star.
Well, and that too.
It's going to take it to another level.
But think about it. When's the last time, like, a truly transcendent American born player of any race? It's LeBron.
Oh, yeah.
It's LeBron.
Yeah.
Because, like, there was this, Anthony Davis was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really good. Yep. People loved him. But it wasn't like, this is a transcendent type.
Zion
the leader.
Blew out.
Because you take the leader and you take the skill set and you say, like, look, Zion was an injury-prone super dunker.
Yep.
And he was exciting.
But he had, from the time he was 13 years old until Duke. Like,
yeah,
the hype machine was behind him, and if he stays healthy, then I think you've got a different story. But it's not Tatum because outside of Boston, nobody cares about Jason Tatum. It's LeBron,
and it's by a pretty
substantial margin.
We haven't had. Yeah. I mean, that's 21 years. Yeah. I mean, if he was born on that day, he could drink now. You know, like we're at that point, and so that is what basketball has needed and wanted. That's what. You know, the NBA needs too, because you look at all of the true stars of the NBA right now, they are, whether it's Luka Doncic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Joel Embiid, and all of those guys.
Shea's Canadian.
Yeah. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Like, you're sitting there and you're looking at all of these guys. It's like the homegrown American star has been gone.
Yep.
And I really do. I think that the NBA kind of whiffed on the marketability of Giannis.
Like, oh, God,
individual brands have marketed him very well. The NBA, there was an apprehension.
Because he had broken English. It's the same thing.
Anytime but you know what?
Yeah, English, they don't know what to do with anybody with a thick accent.
But you know what? He has a billion-dollar smile
in
a personality that wants to be out.
He's electric personality.
In front and center and is a natural leader of people, too. Like, they whiffed on that one.
Yeah, horribly.
They whiffed on
Jokic,
that
Jokic, like, he's just awkward.
He doesn't want to be there.
No, and Luka doesn't want to do media, so.
No, no. Luka wants to hookah in the offseason.
Yes.
That's it right there. God, way too many sports.
We sport so hard.
Yeah.
Sorry. I wasn't here yesterday.
No, I blame you. You weren't here Friday either. There's some making up to do.
It's
you
true.
Summited hoops. You exited interviews. You've done it all.
I've been basketballing super hard.
Yes. And now, like...
And now it's over.
You can't be within, like, 500 yards of a school.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, especially with your comments.
I don't have any more basketball, like, to go to until Summer League.
What will we do without Summer League?
I'm gonna need it. I'm gonna need it in my veins.
That's the first person ever to say that.
Oh,
they need Summer League,
but I'm only gonna need it in a limited dose of 3 to 4 days.
Okay,
I want this bean paste to inject into my face hole.
But Summer League.
At Summer League.
Yeah.
All right. The grand experiment nobody cared about appears to be working. Will the next one? Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot. I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive. No big, I feel like Pac. I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
The NBA play-in gets underway tonight. Lakers and Pelicans playing for a chance to get drubbed by the Denver Nuggets, while the Warriors and Kings will play for an opportunity to face the loser of that game, for an opportunity to get drubbed by the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Hey! But we'll talk ourselves into the Lakers and Warriors both being favorites against both the teams that they're playing, because that's what we do against smaller markets.
I think that ship has sailed, especially on the Lakers. Like, Anthony Davis getting hurt again. Wow, no way. Oh, Anthony Davis got hurt again.
You want to bet if the Lakers win that series or they win this game tonight?
People are going to say they're going to beat the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
God. Oh, they've won. They've won 10 of the last 13.
Those people are morons.
Excuse the fact that the Nuggets have beat the Lakers 9 straight times.
9 times.
So, yeah, it's all very dumb.
In a row.
That's wild when you think about it. It's kind of disrespectful.
Well, yeah, but absolutely, 100% what will happen is if the Pelicans beat the Lakers tonight, this game is in New Orleans, and the Lakers play the Warriors, there will be that conversation of, oh, whoever comes out of this one's going to be the favorite against Oklahoma City, if it's Golden State and L.A.
Mm-hmm.
There's no guarantee that the Warriors beat the Kings, by the way, which fell into the
Kings
play
are kind
in
of
the
a
last week.
With all their injuries.
They are, but there's still no guarantees. We've seen the old Warriors just like turn into a pumpkin at different points in the season. Could happen tonight. I have no idea. But the play-in is really interesting because we get the brands that you have in the play-in, that obviously helps. But remember when the play-in started, it was just kind of like what are we doing here?
It's an unmitigated success.
It has been a rousing success by the NBA. And it gives a little bit of juice and a little bit of downtime. It gives the actual playoff teams a little bit more rest time, which is serving to be invaluable for a team like Milwaukee, which we'll get to a little bit later with Giannis and his status moving forward as they get ready for a 3-6 matchup against the Indiana Pacers. But you get that little bit of rest time, so you get your top seeds are going to be at or near full strength. They get a little bit of less wear on their legs. And then it gives a little bit of action. And what people like in sports is a sense of urgency. And when you have a one-game winner-go-home for, especially in that 9-10 matchup, you get a winner-go-home, you put a little bit more skin in the game, a little bit more juices on these games. And it has been a success for the NBA. And it hasn't been just a money grab, although that's what it was kind of birthed as.
I mean, it's what it is, but it's a money grab with actual value added.
And now we're seeing we will have the NBA trying to put a little bit more skin in the game of the in-season tournament, too, with playoff implications, which the NBA is going to really force this in-season tournament down our throats.
Yeah, and it's going to work. This is what I said from the jump, is that they're going to put stakes on things. They're going to make you care, because everyone's like, oh, we're never going to care about this. Yes, you are.
And now they're going to say, I still won't. But they're going to say that playoff seeding tiebreakers will be determined by how far you advance in the in-season tournament.
Yep.
Which is a odd move, a little bit of a bold move, and it probably won't it really won't show its face that often.
No, but it's a, hey, if things are tight.
And like in this year, it would have served really well for the Indiana Pacers. They would have gotten the tiebreaker over the Orlando Magic, mm-hmm. because they finished with the same record. Orlando would have been the 6th seed, and Indiana would have been the 5th seed.
Mm-hmm.
So if you add more importance, and that was the whole thing about the in-season tournament, is like, why should we care? Like, I mean, it's an in-season tournament. It doesn't, it's not a real championship. People won't care. The Lakers,
they're putting real stakes behind it.
But I don't, and I still don't think that's not going to be enough for me to be like, yeah, win the in-season tournament for a chance to get a tiebreaker.
It's not even just that, but it's just making games more important. And that showed out in the viewership. It did. Like it spiked for the in-season tournament.
Yeah.
Not only that, you had highly competitive basketball going into it. Now, the Lakers ended up mopping the floor with the Pacers in the end.
And this is exactly why, at the end of the day, I'm like, you know, like, because the Lakers won the in-season tournament.
Sure.
And they're in the play-in.
But
the Pacers are the 6th seed. And it's like,
think about, and who are the Pacers playing in the playoffs?
The Milwaukee Bucks.
Who do they beat in the in-season tournament?
The Milwaukee Bucks, because mm-hmm. Tyrese Haliburton gave his little doom, doom, doom. But what? What did that tell us? What did we really gain out of that?
You learned one, that matchup is a great matchup, and it's one that can get under the Bucks, which I don't think many people would think. But also, you're building rivalries again. When you see a team more often, and there's raised stakes. Think about it.
But are they seeing a team more often? Because
they played each other 5 times this year.
Okay. As opposed to four.
And one of them, with raised stakes. Both times. Because they played twice. Because they were in the same bracket, the same bubble. Mm-hmm.
The pool.
And so they played twice in there.
Yeah.
Where games mattered a little bit more. And then again in the semifinal. And did we get a kerfuffle out of that? Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm. We did.
Yeah, Dame tamped it down pretty well.
But again,
because he got the Dame time from Hallie, and then
but remember the,
Dame was
remember
like,
the whole thing
know, when you dish it out, you got to be able to take it.
Milwaukee taking the trying to get the basketball, the game ball.
No, I don't remember that.
Oh yeah,
I don't remember that.
Giannis set a new franchise record, individual scoring, and the Pacers supposedly ran off with a game ball because they were giving it to Oscar Shebway because he scored his first points.
Oh,
a whole back and forth of that.
Like, yeah,
there's just been some fun bad blood.
Okay,
And bringing those stakes in, I think is better. Anything you can do.
Yeah.
To make the regular season matter more and ratchet things up.
It did improve the quality of play
yes.
in November and December, mm-hmm. which is what they wanted to do, and they got that.
And now you have storylines coming out of it directly into the playoffs.
Yeah, but do you think a lot of people are reading
yes.
into those?
Yes,
really?
100%.
I think people that follow basketball as closely as you do,
yes.
they are, but I don't think the most people are.
It's year one.
Yeah.
You're one of the in-season tournament. Remember the play-in was going to be useless and nobody cared. It was blah, 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 blah. And
well, now that's what I'm saying. That's the whole point of this.
Yeah, it's gonna take a couple of years, but you're going to care.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think success in the season as a whole, that will go a lot further for the in-season tournament being that marker, right? Because what we said about Indiana at that time was, hey, look at this Indiana team and Tyrese Haliburton. He is a guy that he's playing like a blossoming star mm-hmm. in the NBA. Then he pops his hamstring. They're the 6th seed. And now we're sitting there, we're going, all right, it's 6th seed. The two teams that played in the championship are the 6th seed and the 8th seed, respectively, in the East and the West.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as you see those teams turn a corner and actually do well in the whole of the regular season, saying, no, this is an actual marker of your success as a as a team and what you will be at the end of the year as well, I think that will go a lot further with people caring a lot more as a whole, right? I mean,
it's fair.
But you did get more competitive basketball. And look, the play-in tournament, people were just like, oh boy, here we go again. One more game. No, these are fun games. And it meant a whole hell of a lot to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I think that, remember when they were like, we're in, and Pat Bev did his whole thing?
Jumped on the table, yeah.
Yeah, that was hilarious because mm-hmm. everybody's like, dude, it's a play-in.
Yeah.
But we get that. And
that's the thing. Is like,
I think it's for those franchises,
it matters.
Yeah, it's hilarious. But I wonder what it'll be like for, I mean, if we truly, three of the four teams this year in the play-in, their expectation is we don't belong here and we shouldn't be here. The Lakers, the Warriors, and the Kings, because Kings last year.
I'd say the Pelicans too. But here's a storyline about the Pelicans. The Pelicans have failed miserably. Remember, in the play-in, they got embarrassed by the Lakers.
Yeah.
The Pelicans, they were just here in Portland. I was talking to their front office as they were coming through. They're like, look, we don't care who we play. We just want to make sure we avoid the play-in. And they were playing incredibly well down the stretch.
Yeah.
They won in Portland. They go down to Sacramento. They go down to the Bay. Like, they win. And then they lay an absolute egg on the last game of the season against the Lakers, the team that they're going to play.
Yeah. We talked about that yesterday, too, the scheduling that the NBA did Friday, Sunday.
Oh, they hit a home run.
It was good. I mean, I didn't watch a lick of it because it was Master Sunday.
Sure.
But it was really smart.
Games of consequence up and down the schedule.
Starting them at the same time, giving them all Saturday off, it was brilliant.
Watching the Cavs go full coward.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was really cool to see the NBA maybe starting to figure out their schedule. Timing is everything.
It only took them 20 years.
Well, they still got a long ways to go because we've been over this where they time up a lot of things to be like with the college football playoff or the NFL and all this stuff. It's like you're going against two behemoths.
Dummies.
But this, the way they're massaging things and trying to make things more important, it's going to work. It will work. And look, I'm with the in-season tournament. It's going to take a little bit longer than what you think for people to truly care. But you're right. They will force people to care about it.
And we'll see.
The NFL did the same thing with the draft. Nobody gave a rip about the draft. They made it an important
event. Yeah.
And so when you make it important, people are going to be like, "Bah! People are dumb."
Yes.
They're going to follow it.
Yes. That's what I mean. It's going to happen. You can fight all you want. It's going to happen.
Yeah. I'll fight a little bit longer.
All right,
I'll fight a little bit longer here.
You're gonna be dumb, or not?
No, not dumb.
Not dumb for a little while longer.
That's right. That's right. I'm not just gonna be like, yeah, this matters.
Go full
Lenny. I learned so much from it.
Yeah,
I didn't learn anything. All right,
it's what plants crave.
You learned quite a bit yesterday. You were at the exit interviews.
I was.
Which was the biggest lie we heard yesterday? What did we learn yesterday from the Blazers exit interviews? First is Russ with SportsCenter.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
All right, you were at Blazers exit interviews yesterday. We talked a lot about the Blazers, kind of hashing out 21 and 61, what it means for the team, and moving forward, what do they look like yesterday. What stuck out to you being there? Besides, where was Jeremy Grant?
Jeremy Grant was excused for personal reasons.
Okay.
Something came up. I was told that there would be a note about it later, but it was kind of a last-minute thing. Something happened. I was told that it's not anything too serious as far as it
doesn't
to
pertain
him.
To the team and him
no.
being F the Blazers.
No, no.
Okay. Because so. I think that's where a lot of people's heads went. Right?
No.
You go 21 and 61, he's injury plagued and, you know, back to
Jeremy's
years.
Getting paid very handsomely to not play post March right now. So just gonna say JG's in a good spot.
Okie dokie.
So I talked to him before they went on the last trip, and unless something changed drastically, Jeremy's just fine.
Okay. Okay. Well, what did we learn though from the hometown team as they cleaned out the lockers? They went home from the player side, and then we also heard from Joe Cronin and Chauncey Billups yesterday.
Yeah, I think there's a couple different things you can take away from this. Is number one, they're going to be bad again next year. That's going to happen.
Yep.
Prepare yourself for that if you haven't already, because. Again, I've been telling you this since they traded Damian Lillard. This is going to be a minimum 2, probably 3-year process.
Yeah.
When you trade a guy away like that and you fully hit the reset button, this is what happens. This is how this goes.
Boop, beep, boop, bop, boop, beep.
Yep. Make sure you get both keys to fire the nuke.
Yeah. Nuclear football.
Indeed.
All right. Okay.
But there's also some interesting things.
What do we look at, though, for what progress looks like next year, though? Because...
It's all internal.
It can't, for the fan base, it can't look like it did this year.
So the discussions I was having with other folks around the PF, in between folks coming in and out and afterwards, was the final couple of games of the season. Did you watch it all?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I did, except for Sunday. I stood in protest against it. I watched Friday.
That's fair. That was a true tank. I mean, they realized, hey, we can tank this like one really bad and get the third best odds. So
I saw nobody playing and was like, ah.
Delano Banton went 0-15 from three.
Yes. Yes.
NBA cratered his 3-point percentage. He was shooting like 37%. He went down to like 31.
Delano, and I said this when they signed him and he had his first game.
My man gets shots up.
He took like 13 shots and scored like 16 points. And I was like, this team needs a guy like that.
Yeah, no, you do need a chucker. It's a real thing.
Not a competitive like playoff team, but that this team this year needed a Delano Banton.
A guy who's willing to get shots up and able to.
With no remorse.
Yeah, no. And being a willing chucker, like you can make an NBA career.
Indiscriminate shooter. Yes. Just like, wham, I'm going to take it.
Everybody thinks that like anyone in the NBA can get shots off whenever they want to. No, they can't. Like it's a skill to be able to get shots off. It's genuinely, and Delano can. But as far as like what progression looks like, it's going to be internal. And I think that's, you can't have the 21-61 season the way it was because Scoot was so bad to start the season. Shaden getting hurt so early. Ant getting hurt so early. DA being disrupted so early. Rob getting hurt so early. That's what made this season unbearable. Because I think the last week, you saw Scoot play better and them play faster.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, it was like, oh, they're running out and getting... Like, Scoot had a dunk on Friday night against the Rockets. His best dunk of the season, hands down.
It was great. That was...
Absolutely yammed it on Uncle Jeff.
And we saw the explosiveness in that the last month of the season.
Yeah.
We saw a lot... We talked about this at length yesterday, where it's like, you see... growth and comfort with his level of play in that he was far more explosive and more of the player that we were going to be getting here in Portland. And then also on the defensive end, it was that he would be a tenacious defender. He's still not a great defender.
Rookies
but
always.
You started seeing a little bit more of that aggressiveness on that end of the floor.
Yeah, and so had that been there all year, where you had the lobs to DeAndre and you had Scoot getting down the paint, throwing down dunks, and Shea occasionally hitting his head on the rim. Like, even if they're losing, you're still like, eh.
Yeah, what we saw was not winning, but also just really bad basketball.
Yes,
for long
and
stretches.
It was.
Can't have that.
No, and I think that's the big thing is that they win two more games next year. They win 23. Maybe they win 25 games. But the brand of basketball is what they wanted it to be. Because look at who they drafted. Look at who they brought in. They got to be a distinctly more aggressive, physically gifted team and did not get to show it because of all of the injuries and because of Scoot's failings at the beginning of the year. And I think that's the thing that you're looking going forward. But the interesting thing is there was a couple of different comments that came out of Media Day that I think caught a lot of people's ears from Chauncey Billups, from Anthony Simons, and from Joe Cronin that kind of like, okay, let's kind of dive into that.
Let's parse out Ant first because Ant was pretty, whoa, okay, did not expect that. And Could it be a signal of something more? Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line. Your dollar goes further, Vancouver Ford. They treat your bike right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online, vancouverford.com. All right, Anthony Simons, he made some headlines yesterday with his comments at his exit interview, because what you had said prior at the beginning of our last segment of get ready, it's going to be another rough go of it next year. What we heard Joe Cronin say yesterday, like things like this.
And often that's with additional help. You know, I think this year there were some flaws in the roster, especially in some missing skill sets and just in general imbalance, where it made it complicated for those guys to reach their highest potential. You know, there's skill sets we need to add. Like, we need more shooters. You know, we've got to open up the floor for guys. We need more playmaking. We need more defenders. There's a lot of things we need. So we're going to continue to evaluate how do we supplement the existing group that we have. But at the same time, not ignoring, we're not good enough yet. We don't have enough talent. Like, we've got to keep boosting our talent base. And, I mean, it might be our most, you know, important thing we do this summer is keep adding to this talent base.
So in the game of basketball, they lack shooters, defenders, and playmakers.
I think it's the combination of where they existed at. Because you've got guys that defend. Tamani, Chris, Jeremy, D.A.
Like Tease.
Tease. But Tamani, Chris, Tease, what do they not do?
Score.
They're not great shooters. And so they have to find that balance. And talking to the Blazers coming into this season, they knew they had a deficit of two things, shooting and playmaking. They 100% knew that. It was like, hey, we know where we're at, but we want to see how much of the air these guys can take up. How much are they capable of just like, and the idea of like when they're healthy, you had Time Lord out there or DA out there. You had a back line that like you could cover up for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and
you had one
not
of,
do Opreith who Greenlight Reith loved sure, him, but
you had a guy in Ayton who anchored a finals run, and another guy who was a defensive player of the year candidate. Like that was the idea. Okay, we've got a back line that can help support this, right? You would have one of Malcolm Brogdon or Anthony Simons to help run the offense, whether it was Scoot Henderson or Shaedon Sharpe alongside them. You would have Tamani Kamara out there as a guy that could go between as a defensive player, or Matisse Thybulle. And then you had Jeremy Grant to supplant as another guy who could shoot and create. But there was always going to be a shortage of either one shooter or one playmaker on the floor.
And there was a second most in the NBA, only to the Memphis Grizzlies, who shut everybody down.
Yes, they had 36 different lineups.
The Blazers had 40 different starting lineups this year and missed 351 games due to injury.
It was insane.
Second most in the NBA.
Yeah, and that's even if you take away like the final 2 weeks,
or I should say, injury and an ice storm.
Yeah.
So
the one there.
It would have been 350.
Yeah.
Had it not been for DeAndre Ayton and the ice storm.
Yeah. Just so dumb. But yeah, I mean, and again, if they're fully healthy and everything goes well, and Chauncey Billups kind of mentioned this yesterday, they're not really competing. Like, they're kind of competing, and I think the Vancouver Ford text line has a great line of this as far as my thinking. By going into next year, more losses by like 8 instead of 30. That stuff is demoralizing, and I think that's the idea. Is like, look, you're still going to
60.
You're still going to lose. But you're just in it until kind of what we saw for the last month,
and that's
really.
That's what I was saying, is that the Blazers, yesterday I was saying the Blazers aren't that far off from being competitive in the regular season.
Sure.
Playoffs are a different animal because that takes stars.
It takes time.
But you take what Joe Cronin said and everything that you've just said right there, and then you compare that to what Anthony Simons said, and this is why he's catching headlines.
Yeah, and Ant yesterday said, we don't want to have another year like this. My 6 year is done now going into year 7. I want to have an opportunity to win. And number one, it's going into year 7? How? How did we get here? That's insane to think about. Year seven?
Like, yeah.
Anthony Simons is going into year seven. He's 24 years old. He'll be 25 this summer. He's hitting his prime. Kind of nuts when you really think about
it.
Okay. He's been in limbo for probably the majority of his career, as far where Neil Olshey took the organization. It's like, you know, whatever. And then you throw COVID in there in his in-between year, or his mid-career year so far. And then the last 2 years of where things have been. And I don't think, I shouldn't say I can't think of a single one, because there's a couple. The staggering majority of NBA players from 25 to 29 years old are all saying what Anthony Simons is saying right now. You have your prime years. Now, there's just a few guys who are like, I don't care, just pay me. Like, that exists.
For sure.
That Jordan Poole exists, right? Like, that's out there. But most guys want to go perform and win, because this is when the physical and the mental line up. And it also is when you earn your biggest contracts. So, yeah, you don't want to be stuck on a team that's retooling or rebuilding, because people look at you, even if you have a great season, and it's empty stats on a bad team.
Yeah.
We're not paying for that.
Yeah. You get Hassan Whiteside.
Yes. And well, every now and then you get a team that one team will pay you.
Yep.
But you're it's tough then. So you want to get to a place where you can show you can contribute to a winning team. And I don't think Ant is gone yet, but this is the first part of, like, it wouldn't shock me if
he's... Value is high. He's entering his prime. He is a very good player. And, like, this is the thing, though, is that for Anthony Simons to truly get what he is talking about out of next season and moving forward here in Portland, it takes a legitimate star in the NBA because he is a number two on a very good team, on a winning team. He's a number two. And there is no number one in this draft, especially in year one of their career. But year two or three, you have to really squint, even if they win the lottery and you get the number one pick. Like, you're sitting there, you're like, ugh. And so that doesn't line up with Anthony Simons unless they go and they make a big swing and bring a star in via trade. Mm-hmm. But what are you giving up to do that? There's not a whole lot that Portland's going to be giving up that they have to give up outside of Anthony Simons to get that in return. Malcolm Brogdon's contract is expiring at next year. So it's essentially a one-year deal. That's attractive to teams, especially at $22.5 million. You know, maybe a team just says, sure, let's go on a guy like Brogdon. But you're not getting a star in return for Malcolm Brogdon. So what we are hearing Anthony Simons say in where the Blazers are, it's not the same place. It doesn't feel like it's the same place. It feels like they're kind of miles apart because of where the franchise is right now. And so when you say this kind of maybe feel, and you don't want to go that far, having that feeling, just listen to what they're saying. Listen to what Joe Cronin said, and then the quote that you just read from Anthony Simons. And you sit there and you go, yeah, it may feel that way.
And it's 100% normal for that to happen. Not just here, but across the league. If you're on a team that's in a position like this, guys are always like, the only guy who's ever happy in the NBA is the guy who just, the number one guy on a title team.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody else always wants more. Everybody else always wants more.
Kevin Durant and Golden State.
Look, I'm telling you, like, you talk to anybody in the league, anyone, with the exception of the guys that are in, you know, the guys are still hanging around like year 15, the Udonis Haslams, you know, hanging on the end of the bench, the Taj Gibsons, who are just happy and they're doing their thing. If you're still an active player, you're not being given the opportunities you need to succeed, to show what you are. And that's true across the board. I mean, we saw it with Klay Thompson, the realization that he's not him anymore and what that did to him mentally and emotionally. Yeah. And that is an attitude that it pervades the entire league. And so when guys aren't happy, and here's, like I said, guys aren't happy all the time. Mm-hmm. Unless you're the number one guy on the title-winning team, there's always something to complain about.
Here's a reason, Tex, and this is something along the lines of what I was talking about yesterday. A certain portion of the Blazers fan base has proven they have no patience. They need a new shiny object every 10 days, a new owner, a new coach, a new GM, etc. With actual patience and continued drafting of good players, this team has real upside. Now, the one thing with that, there is a lot of upside, and I talked about this yesterday, in that one thing that Joe Cronin, Mike Schmitz, the brain trust of the organization right now, they, just last year alone, you can look at it and you could say, from a talent evaluation standpoint, they got a couple really good potential role players, and guys like Tumani Kamara and guys like Ryan Rupert, who was shooting lights out at the end of the year. And you're sitting there, you're like, okay, the development, the talent that they're kind of have that eye for, you can see where they're going, but you only go as far as your star.
And the question
and that's the hardest one. It takes an immense amount of luck to get that player.
Yes.
And in order to get that player and surround these role players that they do a really good job of evaluating and developing, you need a lot of luck, and you got to be really bad.
Yeah, and here's the thing. For all of the people who are sitting there like, oh, their Blazers are doing it wrong, and in the last two drafts, they have drafted Shaedon Sharpe and Scoot Henderson. Tell me which players they should have drafted that would change their fortunes. Or did they take the two best players available to them?
Well, what they should have done was trade that number three pick and hang on to Dame, but that's a story for another day.
And again, that door wasn't there because the return...
because of Dame. Well, and also we forget, like, Dame held the cards there. Like, I mean, you could trade that number three pick, and the return wasn't going to be enough to keep Dame happy. No. Like, that's the reality of it, because I think the Scoot one, like, that's a big TBD, because we don't know. It's year one for all of these guys. And, you know, I saw Kevin O'Connor, he released who he voted for on the all-rookie team, and there's 10 players, and actually he listed 11, and none of them are Scoot Henderson. Mm-hmm.
And I think the first 3 months of the season were so bad and so toxic that it completely changed how he's discussed.
Well, and we know this from the numbers that bared out, people stopped watching.
Yes.
So
people stopped watching day one.
There's a lot of people that have an opinion of Scoot Henderson without actually watching how his progression over the year.
Yeah.
And that's the fair thing to
say. And that's the interesting thing is, you look at the way he closed the season, and I don't know if you're sitting there saying that he's the savior of the franchise, but I think it's pretty fair to ask the question, is like, did he show enough for you to have hope going forward?
And look, we could dive into that. We got two more hours of this radio program. We can dive into that coming up later. Let's take a break from the Blazers, though, and let's head to the NFL, where this is a weird one coming out of the NFL draft. Quite the evaluation process for one team. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.